It's 10:16 right here on In Season with Sake, like any other Wednesday, right? Right about this time, I'm always joined by Nokwaz because we're ready to unlock with her. She's not live in studio with me. We're not live on Facebook. However, she is joining me over the line. And we're going to chat about wealth creation, the economic empowerment of a business. And of course, the founder and MD of OSA Group Ecosystem and Media, Nokwaz Imlam. Good morning, Nokwazi. How are you?
At In Season with Sake and Unlocked with Nokwazi on CCFM, changing lives, changing Cape Town, changing the entire continent. It's a beautiful morning.
It is. I just didn't get you there when you started greeting us, but I've got you now, vibrant and beautiful. How are you? How is your Wednesday morning?
Beautiful, it's blessed, we're highly favored. Mm. We are the children of the Most High God. We are the children of Yahweh Elohim. How can we not be just happy?
Come
because,
on.
You know, we serve a mighty God.
Yeah, I love that. Sure, I always love your energy, you know, because I feed from it every Wednesday. But it is such an honor, you know, yet again to have you join us. Now, today, as I mentioned, that we are chatting about wealth creation, the economic empowerment of businesses. Firstly, why particularly this particular topic for today?
That's very interesting, hey, because we are living in the kind of crisis right now that we need to find the means to avert this crisis, because this crisis is not real, right?
Yeah.
So when we live in an atmosphere or we live on the earth, right, we see signs, and these signs, we have a decision to make as believers, as entrepreneurs, as nation builders, to say, do we accept the status quo of what we're seeing in the economy of South Africa, of Cape Town, or do we start creating the kind of averting of these things because we don't agree with them, right? So when you're looking at the energy crisis that we're experiencing, the economy and job creation crisis, the livelihoods of our people being protected, the corruption, the marginalizing of communities, we have a responsibility to stand up and say, this is not our portion as believers, right?
Yeah.
We serve a mighty God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think through the mighty power at work within us, right? So we need to go back and say, we need to prepare as if we're going to war. What are the things that we need to do differently in our economy as entrepreneurs and business owners? What are the things that we need to do differently as believers in terms of being able to sit and create the kind of Cape Town that we're comfortable with, the kind of South Africa that we agree with, right? So we are here on a mission to say that He is mind and will, Jehovah Jireh, will come to fruition on this earth. And this is why we've created this topic that I know a lot of believers might not necessarily be too comfortable to say, I want to be wealthy, right?
Mm.
We need to unpack, what is this wealth, right? What are we talking about when we're talking about prosperity in business? What are we talking about when we're talking about prosperity for churches to be able to advance the kingdom of God? What are we talking about when we say that communities need to be empowered? What does the word mean? What is it to have resources, and what are these resources supposed to do to change the lives of communities, you know?
Yeah, sure. Now, listen, you shared a very powerful a quote by Dr. Miles Monroe, which says, failure is predictable and wealth is predictable. Now, Nokwazi, looking at the challenges that we are facing in our economy right now, how can we empower businesses economically?
I think that's quite a big one, right?
Mm.
So we need to go back and say, what does God say in relation to being able to be empowered as a believer, and what is empowerment in relation to being a business owner, if that's the vision, if that's the mission that God is giving you as an assignment, right?
Mm.
So I'm a strong believer, like according to Hosea 4 verse 5, right? Wisdom and knowledge cannot coexist with ignorance, right?
Mm.
We need to start having the spiritual enlightenment that enable us as believers to be victorious. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So we talk so much about being ambassadors, about reigning kings and priests. We need that to start to translate. So I am on a special campaign, and my campaign is against ignorance, because I really believe that a lot of the things that we ought to know, We know not. And therefore, we have a responsibility to start equipping ourselves with the adequate level of knowledge and understanding, which is wisdom, in relation to the matters that we're called to dominate, right? Mm. So we talk so much about dominating. How do I dominate an area that I have got no knowledge of?
Mm.
How do I dominate an industry that I have no knowledge of? How do I dominate a vision and a mission that God has given me and I have no knowledge and understanding? Because once I have the knowledge, I also have a responsibility to understand, to comprehend and see what God sees and hear what God is saying, right? So the reason when we're looking at some of the things that were highlighted by our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, at the Station Nation Address in 2023, you know, mm-hmm. he talked about, you know, fighting of corruption. He talked about restoring the energy security. He talked about key issues of the floods and the energy actions and the water and all of these lagging effects of COVID-19, right?
Yeah.
So what can we do in our personal capacity, in the places where we're called to, mandated to dominate, especially the marketplace? How do we start equipping ourselves with being able to start moving the needle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to talk about things that are currencies that are very important for us to be able to gain this wisdom and this knowledge and this understanding that I'm talking about, right? One of the key things is it's important for us to have meekness, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's important for us to have a healthy blend of humility and teachability as entrepreneurs and business owners. If we are going to be able to gain a better understanding, I need to be teachable as a vessel. You know, there's an aspect of being submissive and being easily agreeable. You know that absence of I know it all mentality? You know, because
mm-hmm.
blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We as entrepreneurs and business owners, we need to start admitting where we have not been teachable in terms of certain principles and understandings that we need to understand in relation to businesses and the places we're called to dominate,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the secondary areas that are equally important is competence, is skill, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is always the law of time and chance. So you have a responsibility in that area where you're called to dominate, to be able to attain the skill and learn that ability, learn your craft, study it, know it in an in-depth and intimate understanding, right? So that you can have credibility, what I call a good name, right? Because a name is either unlocking a door or closing a door, right?
Mm.
When they talk about your business, what is it that becomes an immediate reaction to the people that know that business? Is it integrity? Is it consistency? Is it reliable? Or is it, oh, I know that supplier, they never show up on time, right? We have a responsibility to start creating good names, right? And then the other pillar becomes knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We talk so much about light. What is light?
Mm.
Light is when you have received the knowledge, when you have an understanding, therefore you have wisdom, right? We need to start getting out of our comfort zones and really looking at the strategic and advantageous relationships that we need to build. We need to start learning and knowing who are the key important pillars in the area, in the industry that you're operating in, that you need to, in your downtime, make time to go and have coffee with that person so that you start building that bridge,
mm,
right?
Mm.
And I think if you are a believer, you need the anointing. You need the power to get wealth, according to Deuteronomy verse 8 to 18, is that you have to be able to understand that you will require a certain element of something that is more than just the skill, that is more than just the wisdom, that is more than just the understanding, the anointing, the empowerment to do what you cannot do in your own strength, right? And so for me, those are some of the key pillars that immediately come to mind when we talk about the economic empowerment of business owners in relation and undoubtedly founded based on the Word of God as our key reference point of how to create wealth.
Sure, that is amazing. And going back to our key reference point, which is our word, it is written that for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, can you help us to unlock the theology of money and also the definition of prosperity?
And I get asked this question so often, Sistake, you know, and like, and I love how it's always framed, right? So money is the root, right? When we talk about root, we're talking about where something gets its nutrients from, right? So that reference point there in the Word of God, when we say love, they're really meaning the word eros, which is an ungodly affinity, right? So this is what lust is, right? It's the lust for money is the strengthener, you know, for the desire that's already there. It's an ungodly obsession for money. You know, it's when we talk about the root, we talk about where does that desire come from? Where does that ungodly affinity for money come from, right? And so when we talk about that particular principle, it's important, and I love how you've referenced it, Sistake, because it gives reference to understand in terms of, if you understand the context of what money is and isn't, you understand that you can have a healthy relationship, because you need to understand what is an ungodly affinity, an ungodly desire for something, and what is something that is rooted on God's kingdom principles, right? So it's important for us to get out of this uncomfortable relationship with money and start to understand, right, what is its function, right? What is this money that we're talking about, right? Money helps us to redeem time and to be effective and efficient in that we're called to do, right? So let me give you an example. Like, I'm in business. If I have a meeting right now in Johannesburg at 4 p.m. and I'm currently in Cape Town, I would have to book a flight, get into an Uber, book a flight, and get to that meeting at 4 p.m., right? So money as a tool would allow me to not even think twice about it, right? I literally get onto the app, I book a flight, I get into an Uber, I'm at that meeting at 4 p.m. in Johannesburg, and I get a flight coming back with ease. But when the tool, money, is not there, that would become an inefficiency in my life. Because now I need to sit and think, oh my word, and every entrepreneur has been there. Now I have to send an SMS to my mom, and where is she? Some other part of the world, will she see that WhatsApp, will she not? You understand what I mean? This is why you need to understand this tool, right, and in terms of what is needed. And I think it's important to also contextualize it as a believer, right? Why does God bless us? God does want us to live a comfortable life. He wants us to be responsible. He wants us to be able to pay the fees for our children. He wants us to be able to pay for our houses and to own cars and to be debt-free. Unapologetically so, right? God does want his children to be blessed. He wants us to advance the kingdom of God. He wants us to be able to reveal compassion and love of Jesus in a practical way. I cannot pray for everyone who comes to me and says, Sister Matt, please have a loaf of bread. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I need to bless them with the loaf of bread, but also as I give them this bread, that becomes Jesus being revealed and Jesus glorified, to say that he still provides meals for the poor. Does that make sense? That's the kind of evangelism that is lacking, because that's evangelism through love. We respond to the need, right? We respond to the need regardless whether that person believes in God or not. You reveal who Jesus is in a practical way that someone sees and says, ah, I want to know that God that you're serving that is able to give me a loaf of bread. Who is he? Does that make sense? Then it gives a doorway for us to start talking about who he is. And I think if we have that kind of ability to change the world in a practical way, in business, in the spheres that we're called to influence and change and impact, people will come and ask, who is this Yahweh Elohim that you're serving? Who is this Adonai? Who is this great I am? Who is this El Shaddai, right? And so prosperity becomes an important subject to understand if you're a business owner and an entrepreneur, especially if you are a believer in God, right? It's multidimensional. It's what I call multifaceted, right? There is, in the aspect of prosperity, the spiritual prosperity. That's being born again, that's being spirit-filled, but there's also the aspect of mental prosperity. And you and I have talked about mental prosperity quite a bit on the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why mental prosperity is important, it's your mindset. We need to move away from unhealthy beliefs. As a man thinketh, and so is he, right?
Mm.
My believing is a dangerous thing, Sistake, because there are physical signs that must follow what you believe.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Everything following me is a report card. It's telling me that there's something that I believe that is attracting what is following me. So if failure is following you, if pain is following you, you don't drive it away by saying go away, right? They're respecting your beliefs. They were sent to come and honor what you believe. Okay, so these signs, the signs of pain, the signs of rejection, the signs of failure, these signs shall follow them that believe, according to Mark 16, verse 17 to 18, right? So if I want to change the signs that are following me, I need to change my believing, right? And this is why mental prosperity becomes important, that transformation that needs to happen in your mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then under prosperity, we also have what we call health and well-being, right? This is the revival. This is you being able to use the vessel, the body that God has given you to accomplish your purpose on earth. You need to look after it well. Financial prosperity is only in the fourth dimension. I know when we say prosperity, people think money. But yes, it's like it is but one of five, you know what I mean? And when we talk about financial prosperity, it's totally conquering lack of poverty in your life, right? And then we have relational prosperity. So when I talk about strategic relationships in terms of the economic empowerment of believers and economic empowerment of business owners, relational prosperity, this is what we'll talk about, is the relationships. It's the fact that even if I don't have the money to get on your flight, I know that I know somebody who will be able to, you know, back me up.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's based on relationship. Some of them might not necessarily be even related to you, but you build that bridge of a relationship that when you call on them, this is why it's important to live life in a way where you build relationships. It's just one call that you make when you get to Joburg, but there should be someone that's able to drop everything and come and pick you up from the airport. It's based on relationship.
Sure. Strategic relationships. It comes back again.
Yes, it's okay.
Yeah, sure. I love that. I love how you broke the word prosperity down in five forms. That's really, really amazing. Now, Sis Nokwazi, the kingdom, you know, operates in principles. May you share some with us, you know, of the kingdom and business principles for the economic empowerment of businesses?
Okay, so the principles are quite vary. Okay, and I've had to really study this, right? Because there's one aspect that we understand well, right? I think as believers, we understand the spiritual principles, right? I think anyone that's been in the faith walk long enough, when you talk about them in terms of what are the laws that you need to engage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so spiritual laws are responsible for the arrival of financial resources in your life, right? I think when I touch on the key and most important one, it is absolute surrender. It's the state of your heart, right? And, you know, until God bless you, you're not ready to do business with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get to a point of, when I talk about submission, the submissive aspect of yourself that gives them a willing heart to give them everything that pertains to who you are, right? Because God ultimately is after the heart. So before I can go and tithe, I need to give him my heart and a total surrender to God, the Jehovah Jireh that we serve, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we look at tithing, right? And that's a tenth of your portion. I think everyone understands this mechanism to cater for priesthood and building the Lord's house, right? And since I'm a business owner, or I am in business, I have a responsibility to tithe 10%, non-negotiable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm saying that the spiritual laws are responsible for the arrival of the financial resources in my life and in my business, then I need to know that there's always the law of giving, which is seed, time, and harvest, right? For as long as the earth remains, when I sow the seed must produce, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything that I do not have, I have not planted. It means I just have not planted a seed for it, right?
Yeah.
So you have to get to a point where you understand the laws that need to be engaged in order to be able to produce the kind of produce that you want, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it seems vary. I mean, if you're going to sow unkindness in a contract or in a business opportunity, you will reap that, right? It's not scientific.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm sowing giving and I'm sowing knowledge and I'm sowing understanding and I'm sowing kindness and I'm sowing my time and I'm sowing my talents, that's invariably the kind of harvest that I'm expectant of. Nothing less. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you may sit and say, I do not yet have the opportunity, Nokwazi. Where am I supposed to go it? Get it from? Go and sow that is already within you that you can give of yourself that costs you absolutely nothing. So you can be expectant of that particular contract.
Mm.
Go and help somebody else that is struggling with an opportunity that you heard that they were awarded and you have the skill set and ability. Go and offer yourself to assist them, right?
Yeah.
Take that tool that God has already planted in your heart and in your soul, in your spirit, to say, this is what you should be doing during your downtime. You should start writing that book. You should start writing those pages of what you've been taught. It doesn't cost you anything. You are sowing into that has not manifested because you are expectant of a harvest because it's been planted in your mind and in your soul and in your spirit that this is what you ought to do with your time in that particular season, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are constantly waiting and waiting upon the Lord. And I'm really convinced that God is waiting upon us. So the things that we do not have is because we've not sown the seed. So we need to start calling into manifestation the harvest of that we've sown on the ground, right? And so when we look at the business front, I understand this in relation to what we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important for us, if we're going to walk this entrepreneurial journey, to be cognizant of both business principles as well as spiritual principles. So what I just touched on were just the spiritual principles, but they are business principles, and you cannot ignore them if you're operating in the marketplace. Right?
Mm.
There's the law of mental transformation. You will not be able to surpass that and think you can get around it because my mind is an extraordinary fertile garden that is constantly producing the kind of seed that I've planted there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my prosperity will be a greater product of my philosophy and my paradigm than my economy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If I attempt to change my physical reality without first changing my mind, my mind is set and will be compelled
mm-hmm.
to go back and reflect that I believe, right?
Mm.
So I need to get to a point that my thoughts, my belief systems, my mind, right, my reality will be a resultant outcome of my most dominant thought.
Sure.
This is why there's power of thought. First in my mind, then it manifests physically, right?
Mm.
And this is why we always talk about the power of imagination, because what I perceive in my mind is what plants a seed for what is due to be harvested. If I am constantly meditating on doubt, right,
mm-hmm.
that I doubt will come to fruition.
Sure.
If I'm constantly meditating, and even though I feel the pain, I feel the doubt, I feel the trauma inside my body because of a failure, I need to override it with a greater truth. And so this is what we call foundational truth, to say, I know that I failed there 2 years ago, but right now I declare and decree that I will make it, right?
Mm.
And so once I start meditating on that I'm succeeding, I'm making it, that's ultimately what will be the resultant outcome. And this is why there is power in the mental transformation. There's power in knowledge because it transforms you to be able to action a different kind of reality. You know what we call an obedient action based on that you believe, because it is the mindset that makes the business successful or not. It is not what you do.
Sure.
Like, this is why we talk about the mind of a billionaire. There's a certain way that they think. There's a certain way they perceive the reality, right? So if you're going to change anything, change your mindset.
Wow, that is truly powerful, Sis Nokwazi. It is really powerful. I loved what you said earlier while you were speaking about the power of the mind, Oguti. The things we do not have, or rather the signs of the things that, you know, we are expecting, however, we do not have, it's simply because we have not planted the seed for them to, you know, to be fruitful and materialize physically. So that is really, really, really profound to hear, also with regards to, you know, the line of business as well. And before I let you go, where can our folks get in touch with you, in contact with you, with regards to, you know, the today's topic, or just to collaborate and to link up with you?
Okay, perfect. So, Tusake, I love what you just, before I even give you that information, I love what you just finished off, because it just reminded me that there's something that we talk about in business. We talk about looking for money. Money is not lost. We're never going to find it, right? Just exactly what you're saying.
Mm.
You bring them by growing. You need to get to a point where we are growing so ahead of our game that we start attracting the things that we know we ought to have, right?
Mm.
So we talk about these things that manifest, but it's really based on you and the transformed vessel that you become, that's able to attract these other things, right?
Yeah.
And it always, once you get it right, the law of value, which you and I talked about in length, that becomes like a walk in the park, right? Because
mm-hmm.
now your value, your exchange in the market of your skill, your gifts, your abilities, your usefulness to the marketplace creates the demand and supply, because my value decides who values me and who pursues me, right? Because value is an enhancer of favor in essence, right? And then what we always talk about in terms of the productivity, that becomes almost like a done deal, because now the productivity, I mean, when we talk about the quality or ability to make or create or enhance products and services, right, that ability to refine and develop your value and turn it into products or services that are needed and useful and serve it with excellence, that becomes a non-brainer, right? Because when you start to serve kings, you can get the reward of kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're still playing at mediocre level, right, because of lack of competence, of lack of excellence, of lack of value, of lack of productivity, of lack of the most basic understanding in terms of the mental transformation that needs to happen in your mind, that we can't even get to the other side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to finish that thought, because I thought what you said was so powerful in terms of the ability to attract that you believe. So as we're getting ready to just wrap up the year, I think our primary focus as business is really just getting the information that we've been working around in the boardrooms onto the YouTube channel, so that we continue to engage and to do this that we know that we're called to do, to inform, to impart, to inspire, to impact for territorial transformation. So the YouTube channel is called Awesome Business and Entrepreneurship. Go and check it out. Subscribe, follow, and get to see some of the exciting interviews that we're going to be doing in the next couple of weeks as we get ready to close up the year, including some really amazing African entrepreneurs that are doing extraordinary things in the UK as well as the US, some of them even in the facilities management space. So we'll be profiling Kwame and a few others, Calvin in the UK, that are really telling us how they, I was with them in Joburg like 2 years ago or a year ago, some of them, and have already expanded into the UK, and someone else is doing something in the US, and these are entrepreneurs that we grew up with, you know, at the backyards of our homes. So
sure.
to see them doing these extraordinary things, for me, it starts to transform my mind to say, if they can do it, then I can do it, then everyone else can do it, you know. So check us out on the YouTube platform. My number is 071-177-2565. I've had some, even, I don't know whether they received it from you, Sasaki, just people calling me last week, and they're working on such amazing, amazing, amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
I've been so amazed what entrepreneurs are doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it seems so simple, but there are people that are really just trying and they will not give up. And I'm here to encourage you to say giving up is not an option.
Sure, I love that. Giving up is not an option. Try until it happens. Sizinogazi, guys, thank you so much for your time. I truly appreciate you. Very, very informative topic today. And I really love how you broke down prosperity. That is still, you know, still echoing in my mind. So thank you so much. And I hope that you're going to have an amazing, blissful, blessed day.
Blessings upon you, Sister. You're doing extraordinary work, and big ups to CCFM and to all the amazing interviewers and that we've done over the past couple of months, as well as just the amazing listeners that have taken time to listen to us.
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
All right, thank you. Cheers. Bye.
Awesome. That is Sizinogazi Mlambo, who is the founder and MD of OSA Group, OSA Ecosystem, and OSA Media. And she was unlocking wealth creation, right? The economic empowerment of businesses. So if you want to get a hold of her, you can contact her on 011-772-565. That's 011-772-565. Or alternatively, nokwazi@osagroup.co.za.